Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Around 60% of those serving a custodial term in Australian prisons have been imprisoned at least once before. And further, one in four prisoners will be reconvicted within 3 months of being released from prison. Tasmania's Freedom Centre is the brainchild of 87-year-old retired schoolteacher Elizabeth Coleman and is a place where men live and learn new skills after serving a term behind bars. In welcoming Elizabeth to Open House, we began with a random conversation with a stranger that saw her commence the Freedom Centre's work.
Well, I was shopping and this gentleman approached me and asked me for money for a can of Coke and a pie. And I looked at him and I thought, you're a very good-looking, strong-looking young man. Why are you here doing this? And I asked him and he said, and he told me his very sad tale. And I said, well, I will give it to you as long as I can come and talk to you in your home and get to know you and find out why this is happening. And that's exactly how it began.
He must have looked at you like you were some kind of lunatic.
It didn't worry me too much about that because I'm very careful with people. I know a lot about young people, have a lot to do with them over the years, and I felt there was a need for this young man to explain why he was doing this.
So you were invited back to meet his housemates. What stories did you hear there?
Very sad stories. Stories of drugs and encounters with the wrong people, all kinds of things, prison experiences, everything. And so it became quite an interesting exercise because I met other people at his home, which was actually, in the truth of the matter, it was a drug den. So I got to meet some very unusual people very quickly.
I'll bet you did. Elizabeth, what were your family and friends saying when they were hearing about your new relationships in a drug den?
Well, my family just said the same old thing, there she goes again. So that didn't really matter.
Elizabeth, I'm resisting being ageist, but I can't help but point out you're well past retirement age at this point in the story, and yet you're about to kick off a major new project. You must have been really passionate for it.
Well, actually, that's a very good word. The word was passionate, because I started to hear about the lives of these young men, and some of them actually ended up, they weren't that young. Some of them were quite much older, 30s, into their, and even one man, whom I'm still helping, even after all these years, he was in his late 40s and early, and another couple in their 50s, and then another fellow 72 and another one 79. So it was a matter of just gradually getting to know these people and the people who surrounded them, their families, if they had any, and realising what had happened to them.
Yeah, I guess for the broader population, it's stunning to find that 60% of those who have served time behind bars will end up back behind bars at some point, and up to 40% of those within the first 2 or 3 years after being released. These are really sad statistics.
Yes, that's very true. And there is a little bit of healing going on now. There are a lot of good people out there trying to do things to help in these areas. And I met up with some of those people, and many of them are in other groups like the Salvation Army and places that no one hears about much. But there are good people doing good things. But my position became different because as a Christian, I began to feel for these men. I began to feel a bit like a mum for them, that they needed someone to talk to. They needed people to understand their experiences and understand all about their punishment matters and the justice system and the reason why people reoffended and all this sort of thing. Gradually, as over a period of time, as I said, it began in 2009, I began to feel a tremendous burden for these men who had they were so sad and hopeless and really full of pain. So I began to feel their pain, and I used to talk to the Lord about it and say, what are we going to do about this?
So you're welcoming strangers into your home. How are you paying the bills?
They didn't stay with me for great lengthy periods of time. One person stayed about 3 or 4 months. Another one stayed, I suppose, 6 weeks at a time. And they would come and go. And I used to have have quite a few of them coming to visit and that sort of thing, helping them to find a place to live, helping them to share their lives so we could find out what they needed and how they were feeling and how they were managing in the courts. And this was a very, very difficult area because... Yeah. Most of them had no idea how to handle things in the courts or what to do or what was allowed for them to have. And it was really very, very sad. So I gathered together some prayer warriors and some people and friends and other people, and we began to talk about it and thought to get to each other, what can we do? I felt the Lord was really saying to me, look, this is something I want to do. I'm losing my men. They're going. I know some of them are going to war, and it's very, very sad and terrible when they have to lose their lives at war. But we're losing them in our own country because they're not being treated right. They're not being listened to. And at that time, I got to understand the Family Violence Act, which was passed in 2004. And there's an awful lot of work there that should be done to change some of the areas of that act, because many people, I discovered as time went by, not just men but women too, were finding that there was too much power given to people within that act, and people who began to use it for the detriment of others. So it eventually led to what we call now the Freedom Centre. And we have a really wonderful group of people now who are working together. It hasn't been easy, I might say. Mm.
Elizabeth, share a little more about the Freedom Centre, the farm. How are men chosen and what do they do when they get there?
Oh, yes. Well, we've had 8 men altogether who've come through our doors. And what they do, they learn to be part of a family. They find out how wonderful it is to be part of a family group who care about each other. The most important thing is we give them love and care, and we have a lot of compassion for them. We give them their home, a place to live, a wonderful place to share things. They all have their particular jobs to do. For instance, one man is in charge of the kitchen, another is in charge of the garden, and another in charge of the chooks and the bits and pieces that have to be done. And so they all know what they have to do. And gradually, we're building it up and wanting to make it into a really good farm, a place where they can learn agriculture, farming techniques, all the things that we need to have in our lives these days, where we can grow our own food. We can do things as a family, and we can extend that into a big community exercise where everybody, government, people, prison, churches, everybody joins together and helps these dear lost people. And most of them are wonderful when you get to know them and when they get to know their own strengths and their own abilities, and they realise that they're not a bad person after all at all.
There'll be some listening right now to your open-hearted generosity, Elizabeth, making the point, if only to themselves, that if you don't break the law of the land, you don't end up in jail.
That's right. Of course they do. And they'll continue to do it, a lot of them too, out there, I'm sure. But the main thing that we have to realise is, even though they do break the law of the land, there's a reason why these things happen. And sometimes it's because these people, coming from the kind of lives they've come from, they have never learnt about love or understanding or forgiveness or people. They don't even see themselves as a person, many kinds. They just see themselves as a problem.
You're clearly not one for standing still. What are your plans for the Freedom Centre from here?
Well, I have a wonderful plan to expand it. It's getting closer too, my goodness. We want to build a village type complex, which is very much along the lines of the things that are happening in Norway at the moment. Some wonderful things happening. Prisoners are not called prisoners, they're called people. And so we're wanting to move into a very large farm, and we want to build a village type complex where the men will eventually have their own little homes on a very large village complex, and we'll be able to develop all kinds of wonderful training programs in agriculture, farming, and other areas, even kit house building, many, many things, and growing special crops. and so wonderful when you hear that. The men get so excited about it. Oh, I better do this and I better do that. They're not even thinking about running out and committing crimes.
Elizabeth, I'm reminded that the scriptures call on each of us to give our very best to the least amongst us, as if they were our own, and you're doing that in spades. All the very best with the Freedom Centre, and thank you for joining us in Open House around Australia.
Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.